Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me here today. I'm Mandy Rosniak. I'm the owner of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm coming to you from Marlborough, Connecticut. Hopefully, wherever you are right now, the weather's nice, you're enjoying your day, and life is good. And if it's not, maybe what we talk about today can help you turn some of that around, help you bring back some of that fun and adventure that's out there in your life. I'm so glad to have you join me, and I would encourage you to call in with any thoughts, questions, or comments. And the number is, that you can call me, is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. Or if you're listening through the computer, you can ask a question through the chat dashboard. Another way to go if you're interested. I will be here on Life Coach Radio Network the first and third Friday of each month at 1 p.m., and I'll be talking about everything beyond the skills and drills of sports. I like to look at topics and issues that make up the person and not the player. I like to have information and content that everyone can learn from. So please join me on the first and third Fridays of each month at 1 o'clock here on Life Coach Radio Network. So let me introduce myself. I'm Mandy Rosniak, the owner of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm a life coach who specializes in peak performance, leadership, and transition coaching. My primary focus is working with athletes to help them maximize their peak potential by quieting that negative self-talk, those fears and doubts that hold them back from being their best. I like to say we train your brain to up your game so you can live and play fearless, focused, and free. Now, how I got started in all this is I'm a former Division I head softball coach and a collegiate player, but I decided I wanted to expand my ability to help people achieve their full potential, and I really wanted to help them get greater results, not only in their sport, but in life. I loved doing the softball coaching, but I wanted to go for something more. I wanted to dig a little deeper. So when I learned about life coaching and I could help people in so many ways that were just more meaningful to them, I just knew it was a perfect match. So I started looking, how can I do this? And I found this program called IPEC, which is the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, and became a certified professional coach back in June of 2010. And I've just loved every minute of it because of the transformations and the results I've seen people make. There's nothing better when you have that person, you know, struggling with an issue or trying to accomplish a goal, and all of a sudden they make it happen. So again, I just want to remind our listeners. Excuse me here, just need to take a quick drink. So I want to remind our listeners, call in or ask a question, make a comment. The number is 646-716-9397. And again, you can jump on the chat room and on the computer. If you have a question, you can put it through there on the chat dashboard. And after today's show, if you'd like more information on the work I do or how to contact me, I can be found on my website, which is coachmandy.com. My email address is mandy@coachmandy.com, and that is M-A-N-D-Y. That's how I spell it. And you can also find me on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching and on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. So today's show, we're going to be getting into and talking about motivation. And one of the bases behind the motivation that I really want to take a look at is exploring fear versus choice-based. And then also just looking at the difference between intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation and how motivation plays an important role in our lives and our successes. I really wanted to talk about this today because motivation is just connected to why we do things. It can be the drive to do something. It can also be that lack of us doing something. How many times has there been something that we've wanted to do, know we should do, but we're not motivated, right? It's a word that is thrown around so much, and it's closely tied to that perception of why someone's successful or not. You hear it all the time. You know, when someone has accomplished a goal, completed a difficult task, or they've just done something big in their lives, you always hear someone say, well, that's because they were motivated. And yes, that's true, but today I want to dig deeper, and I just want to look at what's actually behind the motivation to what we do. And again, it's, are we motivated out of fear? Or are we motivated out of choice? And I want you to just think about that for a minute. You know, think about some of the things you've done in your lives. What's driven you to want to do it? What's driven you to you know, go after it? Has it been fear-driven? Has it been choice-driven? We're going to get into that a little bit more, so if maybe you're unsure where it's come from, hopefully we'll be able to answer that for you. And we're also going to, again, be looking at how it differs from being internally motivated versus an external motivation, which goes back to intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. So, again, before we dive into this, though, I just want to remind you the number to call and ask a question or make a comment is 646-716-9397. So the question is, what is motivation? Let you think about that for yourself. What is motivation? What does it mean to you? When does it show up for you in your life? And probably for most of us, it's showing up all the time in all sorts of places. Yet we don't really usually, you know, tag onto something that is motivated. You know, we're doing this because we're motivated. But motivation, it's defined as the act or the process of giving someone a reason for doing something. So why are we doing what we're doing? It's also a condition of being eager to do the act or to do the work. And it's a force or an influence that causes someone to do something. So basically motivation, a lot of times, is the why behind what we're doing. It's the, you know, what's the driving force behind what we're doing, and what's setting us as to why, when we're going to do something. So in looking at the definition of motivation, it sounds like it's easy. Probably should be, because all we have to do is just motivate ourselves. We just find a reason to do something or just get excited about doing it, and then we'll be able to do it, right, get it done. Or we just find an outside influence to do it, and there, behold, we'll have before us what we want to have done. Yet so many people struggle with getting motivated. Think about that again for yourself. Think about something that you've had on the to-do list, something you've wanted to do, a goal you've wanted to accomplish. And usually the piece that's holding us back is because we're not motivated. So why is it? Why do so many people struggle with getting motivated? So here's a question I want you to think about. When you have something you have to do or want to do, what holds you back from getting or being motivated? I'll ask that again. When you have something you have to do or want to do, what holds you back from being or getting motivated? Now, I set that question up a little bit by putting in there two separate little pieces of have to versus want to. Because I believe that these are two of the very strong and important components towards our ability to motivate ourselves and our ability to get things done and be motivated. Because that's what we're going to be looking at today. The big reason is when you have to do something, always connected to a fear-based decision. Now, you might say, well, you know, I have to, you know, go to the dentist. I have to, you know, do something over here. That may not be driven. You may be thinking that's not totally driven out of fear, but a have to has a much stronger energy against wanting to do something than a want to. So again, have to is usually connected to a fear-based decision, where want to is all about choice. Obviously, it's easy to see that connection. I want to do something. I choose to do something. So let's look at fear-based motivation. Basically, fear-based motivation, it's not genuine. It's not authentic. It's something that, you know, basically fear motivation involves consequences. It's that style of motivation that often is referred to as, if you've ever heard the phrase, the carrot and the stick, which basically the incentive is the carrot and the fear is the stick. You know, if somebody has that dangling out there in front of you, and if you go for it, you reach it, you get the carrot, but if you don't complete goal or you don't accomplish the task at hand, you get the stick. Punishment or negative consequences are also a form of fear motivation. If you think about it, you know, you're doing something out of the fear of what's going to happen to you or the consequences that will take place or the punishment that's going to happen. Such as if we fail to achieve the set goal, we're penalized in some way. I also think fear motivation stems from not wanting to disappoint someone. That's another really, really big thing you see a lot of people do. They'll do something out of wanting to not disappoint So the fear is disappointing someone. That's then their driving motivation. We do it not so much because it's what we want, but it's more that we don't want to let someone else down. So hopefully you can see as you start to talk about this that when it's fear-driven, there can be a lot of roadblocks, a lot of things that can come up for us that are going to hold us back from being able to really accomplish what it is we want to do. It also is derived from something that's outside of us. Think about times in your lives when the motivation behind why you did something was fear-based. It was based on being penalized or letting someone down if you didn't get it done or reach that goal. I can remember a time in college when I was playing softball and I was told I needed to lose some weight before the spring or else I wouldn't play. Well, when you're a sophomore in college and, you know, you're driven by, it was all about playing softball, and you're told that, then you're obviously going to be driven. And, you know, fortunately for me, I did lose the weight, got into great shape, which sounds like some real great benefits. But it was how I was feeling about myself while I was doing the workout that was awful. I wasn't coming at it from the right place, from the right intention. The motivation behind why I was doing it was out of fear and not playing, you know, is out of fear of not playing instead of the benefits of being in better shape. Obviously, being in better shape, losing some weight can always make us perform better, but it was, again, it was the motivation behind why I had to do what I had to do. The motivation was fear-based because you don't do this, you don't get to play. Instead of, again, shifting it, twisting it, and looking at the benefits of doing something and putting it in a place of choice for myself versus have to. So, again, it became a have to versus a want to. Unfortunately, you're going to see that fear motivation is used a lot in sports to motivate athletes. Maybe not so much now as it used to be in old school coaching, but a fear-based motivation for an athlete would be like telling a team or an athlete, if you don't win today's game, we're having a 6 a.m. practice tomorrow. Or if you don't make your free throws, you're going to get benched. Every athlete knows that those are some of the worst things they want to hear. They, you know, after playing a game, who wants to get up at 6 a.m. and have to go to practice? We've all done it. Everybody that's, you know, played, we've all had those morning practices that we've trudged through. But you don't want to have to have what you're doing on, you know, say a Wednesday be driven by your success or failure is going to lead to what, you know, that 6 a.m. practice the next morning. Same thing as if, you know, you don't make your free throws and you're going to get benched. It's used a lot as an incentive. It's used a lot as a case of do this or that will happen. But again, when it's coming from a fear-based place, that can make the internal drive come from the wrong place. When you are afraid of making a mistake, how many times do we actually end up making mistakes? Same thing about when you're afraid of getting an injury. You don't perform the same way. You don't go all out. You're actually more thinking about what you're doing and how you're doing it instead of just reacting to what you're doing and how you're doing it. And with athletics, that's going to be critical. You need to be able to perform with a free flow. You need to be able to perform with a reaction instead of thinking about what's going to be the consequences or the penalty if you don't get something done. So the athlete that gets motivated by fear is not working to achieve something. They're actually working and looking to try to avoid something, such as, again, losing a position or making a mistake. When that's the situation, that can really make an athlete become focused on what not to do rather than what to do. And when you're focused on what you shouldn't do, as we know, what we focus on, we become. What we focus on, we do. That's when you're going to tend to make more mistakes. That's when you're going to tend to not have the performance be what it is you're actually striving for. And also, when you're focused on what not to do rather than what you want to do, it can also lead to stress. It can increase your anxiety. Without a doubt, you can lose your sense of self, lose that confidence, because you're only working and doing to not make something happen instead of wanting to achieve it with the focus on the effort instead of the outcome. The motivation for anything you do needs to be on the what and how you're doing it, the looking at the effort of what you're doing versus the outcome. Outcome cannot be driven by the what we're doing. We can't really control the outcome because the outcome is it takes all sorts of different factors that lead to what's going to happen there. So you have to focus on the effort. And again, if you're focused more on not making a mistake instead of wanting to achieve something, the focus is going to be on the outcome instead of the effort. So being motivated by fear can also lead to a sense of resentment or disloyalty toward the one instilling the fear. I'm sure many of us that are a little bit older can, you know, remember the days when, you know, we've had coaches that get on us and, you know, they push us and maybe it got a great performance out of us at the time. But when you stepped back, it sort of instilled some things in us that maybe we weren't, you know, happy with the production that we brought. You know, maybe we got the goal accomplished, but what was driven into us wasn't exactly what we were, you know, we were looking for. So again, it can lead to a sense of resentment or disloyalty towards that by instilling the fear. You see coaches do it, parents do it, teachers do it. They do it, again, they're trying to drive you, they're trying to motivate you, but again, they're motivating you more, you have to do this or else, versus encouraging someone to want to do something for the gains that they can get for themselves. It may get results, but just realize that in the long run, those results are not going to be sustainable. They're not going to have that long-lasting effect. And it may do damage to one's mindset. It may do damage to our, again, our confidence and our sense of self. So now we're going to shift into choice-based motivation, which is you're doing it because of what you may gain. You may earn or you might achieve. Very, very different place when you're coming from a sense of gain, earn, achieve. And it's usually going to lead to long-term results. Choice-based motivation, it has more meaning for the individual or the team because it's going to come from you. It comes from wanting to make it happen. And I think that's the key. When you want to make something happen, nothing's going to stop you. Nothing's going to get in your way. We might run into roadblocks. We might run into hurdles. We might run into some failures. But that's when you're going to dust yourself off, get back up. You're going to go after it again because you want to make it happen. When you do something out of choice, out of a sense of personal purpose, there tends to be this internal drive. It comes from the inside, which has much more meaning and lasting effects. Again, sustainable results. We'll get into this a little bit more in a few minutes, but choice-based motivation falls under that intrinsic motivation because it comes from within. We all know that when we choose to do something, we tend to have a greater desire to make it happen. Bottom line, right? Give me the choice, and I'm going to go for it. We get connected to that effort, and even though that outcome is important, that's not what's driving us. When we decide we want to do something out of choice, we become the drivers of where we're headed instead of the passenger. I'd like to say that if you're doing something out of fear, you're probably a passenger on the path to where you're headed. It's not coming out of you. It's not coming out of necessarily what you ultimately want or coming out of a place of from the right motive, right incentive. But when it's out of choice, you're the driver of where you're headed. So here's an example of a fear versus a choice-based kind of behavior. Say you have a parent that says, you know, if you don't do your homework and get good grades, I'm not paying for college. They threaten you with that. Don't do your homework, you don't get good grades, I'm not paying for school. That's a fear-based motivation. That parent is trying to motivate them out of fear of what they won't get. But here's the way you can shift this around. You could say, I know you may not feel like doing your homework, but I want you to get good grades so you have options when it's time to choose a college. So basically, this puts the choice of doing the homework in the student's hands. And now the student isn't facing an all-or-nothing scenario. The choice really is then theirs. Now, I'm not sure if in the heat of the moment a parent's clarity is going to be able to, you know, be able to have them see this or say that. But understand, I know this is a simplistic example, but the point being that the child would then be deciding to do the work so that it gives them better options for college. If they don't choose to do the work, then when they have to own their own situation, the bottom line, they'd be choosing the action. Do the homework, have choices for school. Don't do the homework, maybe left on the outside looking in, but it's their choice. Now, we won't talk about the consequences down the road if they end up without having done the homework, but again, that was just a simplistic example of two ways of being able to present the same concept. One was fear-based, one is choice-based. So again, I was talking about choice-based motivation comes from within, and it leads to longer-lasting results. And quite simply, choice-based motivation comes with a higher level of energy, which always is going to lead to more success. And if the success is there, when we're trying, you know, it doesn't make it happen, then usually the outlook on the situation is much more positive, and with the attitude of getting back in there and doing it again. So, you know, that's another thing to sort of take a look at is what's the energy behind what it is you're trying to do. Fear-based, it's going to be a lot of negative, catabolic, I don't want to do this, why me, why do I have to, a lot of anger behind looking to do something, resentment. Choice-based, going to be a higher energy, more of an anabolic energy, more of a build you up, more of a I want to do this, I want to make it happen, and win-win types of attitude. What can I do so that I can gain something and also maybe help someone else gain? So there's going to be a different energy tied to fear versus choice-based as well. People who failed at what they're trying to do and got back up and tried again are always motivated by choice because, again, it was something they went for. Maybe it didn't happen. So they got up, let's go after this, see what else we can do. Great example of a choice-based motivation. You've all heard of Disney World and hopefully Walt Disney. The story behind Walt Disney and it was that he was fired by a newspaper editor because of he lacked imagination and he had no good ideas. So there was this newspaper editor who said Walt Disney lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Kind of funny to think about that now looking back. But what it was, he also then had this character, it was this bunny character. I can't remember the name of the bunny, but he had this bunny character that he sold. It was a comic, and he sold it. And he thought he had made a huge mistake because he sold all the rights to this bunny. And this bunny became really, really popular. And out of this frustration, out of this, you know, fear that he made this mistake, I can't believe I did this, he started again doodling because Walt Disney was a cartoonist. He began doodling, and from out of his doodling work, he came up with this character called Mickey Mouse. And I think we all know how things turned out from there. So, you know, here was someone who was motivated he wasn't doing things out of fear that he couldn't do it. He was motivated out of choice. He was going to keep going until he was going to be able to find the way to make it happen. And then there's also the story of how Michael Jordan was cut from his ninth grade basketball team. Wasn't good enough in ninth grade to play basketball, but he didn't let that motivation stop him. He didn't let the fear of not being able to do it or disappointing someone stop him. He made a choice that he was going to become the best basketball player he could. Who would have thought that he'd become one of the best basketball players ever? Obviously, both of them had choices to make to keep going, and they were motivated by choice and a lot of intrinsic motivation, which, again, we'll get into in a few minutes. But they were obviously driven by something deep inside them that made them want to make it happen, and they weren't going to let anything stop them. They were driven by choice motivation versus fear motivation. I'd like to just take a quick minute here now before we get into intrinsic versus the extrinsic motivation to just remind you if you have a question or would like to call with a comment, the number is 646-716-9397. And also to take a moment here to let you know of some of the upcoming shows that we have on Life Coach Radio Network. And our next show coming up is going to be on Monday, October 21st. At 9 p.m. with Frank Talk. It's the radio show about the art and science of a happy, meaningful life. Then on Tuesday, October 22nd at noon, we have Fun to Fortunes, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. And then next Thursday, October 24th at 7 p.m., we have Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman. Then on our sister stations, we also have Life Coach Chat Channel. The next show coming up on there is this Sunday, October 20th at noon, which is going to be the Super Soul Sunday After Show with Oprah and Danny Shapiro discussing faith. And then on International Life Coach Radio on Sunday, October 27th at 1 p.m., we have the Zenberry Life with Holistic Health Coach Emma Galland. So those are the shows that are going to be coming up on our sister stations and also on Life Coach Radio Network. So we've been looking at talking about fear versus choice-based motivation. So now we're going to take a look at the connection to fear versus choice with intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. A little bit of a tongue twister there. Also internal versus external motivation. So what are they? Well, we're going to start with extrinsic motivation or external motivation, because that's when you're motivated to perform a behavior or engage in an activity in order to earn a reward or avoid a punishment. So this is where I feel that this can be linked to a fear-based motivation. But understand, it's not an absolute. Just being externally motivated by something doesn't automatically mean it's fear-based. That's where the two can be linked, because it is engaging in behavior that is looking to sort of avoid punishment. That's where the fear-based aspect comes in. It's just that when we do something outside of ourselves and we're trying to avoid punishment, that's almost always going to be fear-driven. Where it separates itself from the fear is when we're doing it out of earning a reward. And if you're doing it out of earning a reward based on if you are successful with what you're trying to do, you earn a reward, great. As long as then you're not coming from a place of beating yourself up if you don't earn the reward. If the reward is the external drive, nothing wrong with that. If the reason for doing what you're doing is based on not getting punished, well, that external drive then is also fear-based. So some examples of external and extrinsic motivation are studying because you want to get a good grade. The grade is the motivation. You're not studying for anything other than you want to get a good grade. Or participating in a sport in order to win an award. You're doing it to win the award. Or competing in a sport to earn a scholarship. The motivations in all of those are the grades, the awards, the scholarship. In these behaviors, you're motivated by a desire to gain a reward or to avoid a negative outcome. So now we'll look at intrinsic motivation or internal motivation. And that basically involves in engaging in a behavior because it's personally rewarding. You're doing it for its own sake rather than for the desire of that external reward. You're doing it because you want to do it. So this is obviously connected to choice-based motivation. You're choosing to do it because of what you feel and desire on the inside and because it's something you want. So examples of intrinsic motivation are you participate in a sport because you love competition and you find it enjoyable. Again, the participation in the sport is for the love of the competition and the joy you get in competing. There's no other outside reward that you're looking to gain other than the competition and the joy of playing a game because you find it exciting. So again, the internal drive is the excitement. If you notice here, some of this is also tied to the feelings. External motivation is being tied to sort of, they're not so much feeling-based as they are material or substantial-based, or, again, avoidance of a punishment or what you're going to gain as a reward, where the intrinsic motivations, participating because you love a sport, you find it enjoyable, so love and joy. Playing a game because you find it exciting. Or say exercising and eating right for the health benefits, And if you lose weight, great. So that motivation for the exercising and eating right are for the benefits that you're going to gain health-wise, but you're not looking at it necessarily because you're going to lose weight or for other external reasons. You're doing it just for the benefit of healthy eating and the exercise itself. A really good example I have of sort of an intrinsic motivation, sort of an intrinsic drive, internal drive of wanting to accomplish something, was I had a player who played for me, and she's a great example of this internal motivation. She, when she was a freshman in high school, she was at a camp, softball camp, and she was told she was never going to play Division I softball. Now, ninth grade, usually females are probably about as tall as they're going to get. You know, maybe you're going to get a little bit, but usually by that age, you're probably about as tall as you're going to be. And, you know, she wasn't very tall. You know, as a freshman, she wasn't very big. So she was told she would never play Division I softball. Well, this was the wrong thing to tell this player because she was not going to now let that stop her. That was actually the drive that was going to make her prove that she could do this. She wanted to prove to herself that she had the abilities to play Division I softball. She went through a high school career, small town. Travel softball has now gotten to be much bigger than it was when she was in high school playing softball. So she didn't have a lot of exposure, things like that. And I'll tell you, the fact that she didn't have a lot of exposure, best thing that ever happened to me because fortunately a lot of people didn't know about her. And unfortunately for her, she wasn't highly recruited, but fortunately for me, that left her available looking for a school, and I was happy to oblige and take her in. One of the things about it in talking about this was when she came in, didn't know a lot about her, hadn't seen her play very much, and this kid was so driven to prove that she could play at this level, that she could play at the Division I level, that she was so eternally driven to be the best she could be, she wasn't going to let anything or anyone stop her. Now, you might say, well, isn't that an external reward of being at Division I? Yeah, that might have been the result of it. That might have been the outcome of doing it. But she wasn't trying to do this out of fear. She was doing this from an internal motivation. She was doing this because she wanted to prove to herself what she was capable of accomplishing. Now, when this kid came in, like I said, hadn't seen her play a lot. I'd heard some things, you know, not sure that she's ready to play at this level. Well, basically, in Division I softball, we have a fall season and then our traditional season is in spring. And if my memory serves me right, she started catching for us in the fall and basically was my starting catcher for the next 4 years. She was about 5'3", so again, she wasn't very big. So as a catcher, that is, you don't usually look for catchers that are of that size. But she worked harder than any player I've pretty much ever coached. Never had to tell her to work hard, never had to do extra stuff. She got herself in the weight room, got herself to be very strong. And as I said, she caught pretty much, I think, started just about every game for me in her 4 years, minus any injuries or giving her some time for rest. And I can remember the other thing with this factor, and you know, she led the team in hits, she was a powerful hitter, team captain, just a great, great kid, never once had a problem with her. And the interesting thing to this story was the fact that she didn't walk in the door and say to me, "Coach, you know, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to prove." I don't believe I heard the story about her wanting to prove this for herself and play Division I softball because she was told as a freshman in high school she couldn't until she was probably a junior in college. And she might not have even told me till she was a senior. So it wasn't as if this was something that she came in and was, you know, going to tell everybody, this is what I'm trying to do. She just went out and did it. And then after she did it, is when she shared the fact that this is what drove me. So her internal motivation was to prove to herself that she was good enough and capable of doing this. And what makes the story even better is after she got out of college, you know, got herself, you know, doing some different things, and now she is a state trooper up in Vermont and is, you know, doing very well for herself. And, again, a lot of internal motivation for everything she's accomplished and what she's done. And I just think that's a great story that just really drives home what it is about when a person's behavior is motivated by that internal desire to make it happen. She was absolutely driven to make it happen, prove she could do this. And the reward, there was an external reward, there was an external benefit by getting to play Division I softball, but she was not doing it to play Division I softball, she was doing it to prove to herself she had the capability. So there was that inner drive pushing her. So the question is one better than the other? Is extrinsic or intrinsic motivation best? Is internal versus external motivation better? The primary difference between the two types of motivation is, as we've talked about, extrinsic motivation comes from the outside of the individual, while that intrinsic, internal motivation comes from within. So one is not necessarily better. You have to know and decide for yourself, what's the motivation, pardon the pun, behind why you're doing something? Are you doing it out of fear, or are you doing it out of choice? So the next time you've got something ahead of you that you want to try to do, or you're finding yourself, you know, getting ready to do something, and you're looking at the motivation, ask that of yourself. Look at it. Take a step back. Are you doing this out of fear, or are you doing it from a place of choice? Internally motivated, or are you wanting the external reward? Now understand, there's no right or wrong as long as you're clear on the intention behind the what and the why you're doing it. So if you think to yourself, I'm doing this because of, and it's an externally motivated thing, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're doing it with an open mind and you're doing it from free choice and you're doing it from a standpoint of, if you maybe don't accomplish that aspect and you don't get the reward, you then don't regret the effort and what you went for. So that's the piece to really, really have an understanding of. You may actually also choose to be motivated by fear. I know that may sound contradicting, but again, if you're aware that you're doing it, then maybe that works for you. And you can absolutely make a choice-based decision that it's connected to an extrinsic reward. But again, if you find yourself motivated by fear and you become aware that this is happening, then you can take the steps to shift that around for yourself. So you have something coming up, you have a goal, you have something you're looking to accomplish. Take that step back and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I want it? Saturday afternoon, you've got something that you need to accomplish by, you know, the end of the weekend, and you just can't find yourself to be motivated to do it. We've all been there. Ask yourself why. What is going on as to why I can't get motivated to do this? Could it be fear-based from a place of the fear is maybe in the failing of not being able to do it? So the motivation is there, or you need to get motivated, but the fear now maybe also is not quenched of someone else or disappointing someone else. Maybe the negative consequence is the fear out of the failing. Maybe you have a fear around what's going to happen if I do this and then don't succeed. So take a look at that when something's holding you up and you're stumped on not being able to get yourself going and pull it out. Same as also if you're getting up and you're looking to do something and it's very choice-based, look at the choice you're making. Is the choice you're making, are you doing it because you are looking for what you're going to get out of it personally, what you're going to get out of it internally, how you're going to feel about it? Then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Or are you only doing it because you're being driven out of what you're going to gain on the outside? You're only doing it because of the reward. So those are some things to look at for yourself. When the next time you are feeling motivated or you're needing to get motivated, take a look at those things. But understand, bottom line, the question is, are you coming from a place of clarity of your goal, and are you willing to take ownership and accountability for whatever happens? So you've got something you've got to do. You've got to understand, am I coming from a place of purpose? Is there clarity on my goal? And am I willing to take ownership and accountability for whatever happens? Because when you take ownership for who you are and what you do, it's always going to lead to success in your life because it's going to come from a place of choice. It's going to come from a place of empowerment, and it's going to come from enthusiasm. And if you're looking for ways sometimes, you know, how do I motivate myself? How do I come from this place? You know, I'm needing that little bit of energy. I'm needing to gain some enthusiasm for what it is that I'm looking to do. We all know that there's, you know, song that when we hear a song driving in the car or we get up in the morning, we know that music can pump us up. Music can give us a sense of energy. There's quotes or sayings that we have that, you know, inspire us, that drive us. And again, inspiration is part of motivation. You know, a phrase, a saying, a quote can help get us motivated. There's also helping motivate yourself. Set your goals, if you know what your goals are, and then post them somewhere where you can see them. Post them somewhere where it's going to be a positive reminder versus a beat yourself up because you haven't gotten it done yet. You know, there's that honey-do list that we all have, or that list that we all have of things we need to do that drive us crazy because we're not getting it done. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking that goal, taking that something that you really, really want to accomplish, put it up somewhere so you can see it, so it can be a positive reminder of what it is you want to accomplish. You can also work with a coach. Coaches can help you work through the action steps, can help you set up a plan, can help you look at ways and where are the areas that are holding you back, that are tripping you up. They can help keep you on track. You could also just have an accountability partner, a friend, someone in your family, someone you know that could help keep you on task, help keep you motivated. Because, again, we've talked about motivation today from a place of fear versus choice-based and being internal versus external. But sometimes, you know, we do need a little push, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having somebody that sort of gives you encouragement, that helps give you that little bit of push. Because, again, as I sort of stated here at the end, sometimes our lack of motivation comes from our fear of the failure of what if we don't get it done. So that's a little bit different than when you're doing something out of fear of not disappointing again. But so look at what motivates you and why you get motivated versus also why you're not motivated. What is holding you back from getting this thing done? What's holding you back going after and accomplishing these goals? And again, these are ways that you can look at it. You know, like I said, music, find a quote that really helps push you. Put those goals up in front of you that maybe you're trying to accomplish. Work with a coach, help keep you on track, or have an accountability partner that helps work with you and push you through that. So, you know, again, what's really just really, really important here is you just need to believe in yourself, and that will motivate you to accomplish anything you want. Belief in yourself. Realize that a dream with motivation will become an accomplished goal. A dream with motivation will become an accomplished goal. Now I want you to go out there and shine bright, live big, and be brave. Shine bright, live big, and be brave. And realize you have so much more inside of you that you can dig out. And I just want to read this little poem here that I think just speaks to this place of what's all inside of us that we can dig in deep to try to bring out the best in ourselves. And it's from Marianne Williamson from Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. And I think this really speaks to motivation because sometimes, again, why we're not motivated is because we are afraid of what we actually might accomplish, or we're afraid that we might not quite reach what we want to accomplish. But I believe we have so much more inside us that we can tap into and dig in and go get. So here is what she writes. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You're playing small to not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And again, that was from Marianne Williamson from A Course in Miracles. So I reiterate, shine bright, live big, and be brave. Take that internal drive we all have and go motivate yourself to accomplish that task that's been holding you back or that's been on that to-do list, because you can make it happen. So in that basically wraps up what I wanted to talk to you today about our motivation and looking at all that kind of stuff. And I want to thank you for joining me. And as we take a little bit of time here to go over some of the things coming up, I'm going to be on again on November 1st. It's already coming up pretty quickly, November 1st at 1 p.m., and that's going to be in 2 weeks. And our upcoming shows on our Life Coach Radio Network, again, are on Monday, October 21st at 9 p.m. with Frank Talk, the radio show about the art and science of a happy, meaningful life. Tuesday, October 22nd at 12 p.m. is going to be Fund of Fortunes Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. And then next Thursday, October 24th at 7 p.m. is going to be Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman. On our Life Coach Chat channel, we have Super Soul Sunday After Show with Oprah and Danny Shapiro on Faith. And that's going to be Sunday, October 20th at noon. And then on the International Life Coach Radio Network, the next show on there is going to be Sunday, October 27th at 1 p.m. And that's going to be The Zenberry Life with Holistic Health Coach Emma Gallant. And again, if you'd like to reach me, I can be reached at coachmandy.www.coachmandy.com, and that's M-A-N-D-Y. My email address is mandy@coachmandy.com. I can also be found on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, and also you can follow me on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. So again, I want to thank you for joining me here today, and I just want to leave you with one last piece about living fearless, focused, and free, because I believe we all have a power within us. We all have that greatness within us that we can just let out and shine and bring out the best we have to be. So living fearless, focused, and free is facing, acknowledging, and releasing the power your fears have over you, which opens up possibilities for you to have more of what you want so you can be clear and give more attention and focus your wants and desires, creating an opening space within your life so that all the obstacles and hurdles that have held you back are removed, allowing you to be free to follow your passions and live with purpose and ignite your inner greatness. So as I said a few minutes ago, shine bright, live big, and be brave. Passion, ignite your inner greatness, and live fearless, focused, and free. Thank you for joining me here today. And again, I will be on next time on Friday, November 1st at 1 p.m. And I do hope you'll be joining me then as we get into more topics that are beyond the skills and drills in sport. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather while we have it, and take care.